Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, 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 my friends, book lovers, and everybody out there who loves good entertainment. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Off the Shelf for this gorgeous Saturday, June the 19th, 2010. I thank you so much for joining us here this morning. As always, it is truly a joy to have you here with us. For those of you who are tuning in for the first time, I would like to introduce myself. My name is Denise Turney, and I'm coming to you live from the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And I thank you for your support, and I encourage you not to let another day pass before you pick up a copy of Long Walk Up. Long Walk Up is a book that's going to enrich your life. It's going to motivate you and inspire you, and who doesn't want that? To add Long Walk Up to your collection, all you have to do is stop by www.chistel.com. You can stop by there now, even as you listen to the show. Pick up a copy from Long Walk Up. You can also get a copy at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Borders, Walmart, or any bookstore. If you don't see it on the shelf, just ask the clerk for it, because it's carried by the largest book distributors in the world. And now on this wonderful, wonderful day, I am so honored to bring to you another wonderful author we had on with us last week, Pat, and Pat Simmons. She was so much fun and such a great author. We have another author, Lisa Watson, who is here with us this morning that we're honored to bring with you. Lisa Watson is the author of the book Switch, The Reunion, and Watch Your Back. She was also nominated for AFRAM Festival Literary Book Award, and I've attended that festival. It's a huge festival, so that is quite an honor. It's a large cultural event that takes place in Virginia each year, and tens of thousands of people go out to that festival. And work that Lisa Watson has contributed to is namely the anthology Love is Blind. It earned its way onto the Essence Magazine's bestseller list. So congratulations to Lisa for that. Lisa Watson is online at www.lisawatson.com. Again, that's Lisa Watson, spelled the way it sounds, .com. Go over there and visit her website while you're listening to her. Talk to us and share with us here on Off the Shelf this morning. Welcome to Off the Shelf, Lisa.
Denise, thanks so much for having me, and that was the best intro I've ever had.
Well, I'm so, so glad to have you here just to continue to bring such wonderful people to our listeners here at Off the Shelf. We have a different variety of guests on from week to week, but this is the first time we've had two authors on and accomplished authors back-to-back. We have business leaders and whatnot on as well. So I want to start by congratulating you for earning your way onto Essence Magazine's bestsellers. Essence Magazine is probably, if not the number one, definitely in the top two of African-American women magazines, so that is truly an accomplishment. For the anthology, you worked on with Perry Brown and Pat Simmons, who our listeners absolutely loved her last week. And I've heard of other writers, just to start, I've heard of other authors, Lisa, who they combine their talents together with each other. It could be two, three other authors, and they put out a book, a series of, they're not full novels, they're like novellas, and they it must be successful, because I know of other authors who have done this. So without talking about the story that you wrote, what was it like? I want to talk about that a little later in the interview, but what was it like creating an anthology with two other authors? What's that experience like?
Well, it was actually really, that was actually my first published work. So I literally fell into that backwards. Pat and I met at the 2002 Romance Slam Jam in Durham, North Carolina. And she and I hit it off that weekend. We had a great time. And literally, I ran into her as she was coming out of a one-on-one interview with one of the editors to pitch that story, Love is Blind, to pitch the idea. And they said, well, it was great, it sounded good, go get two more authors, make sure one is a best-selling author already, and make it an anthology. So when she came out, I ran into her. She's like, hey, Lisa, want to write a book with me? And I'm like, sure.
Oh, my goodness.
And it happened, and she's like, "Great, we need a published, established author. I got an idea." So she went and grabbed Perry, Ebony Staten Brown, and she pitched the idea to her. Perry said, "Oh, okay, great, I'll do it." And she's like, "To be honest, girl, I didn't even think you guys were gonna come back with a story." But
oh,
we
my
did.
Gosh.
Pat
before the conference ended?
Yeah.
Before the conference?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, it was funny because Perry was there as well, and Pat was from St. Louis. I was living in Aurora, Illinois at the time, so each of us went back home, and she was like, "Okay, let's get to work," and we did. I created The Switch from that book, and Pat did Words of Love, and we all brought it back together, and that was how Love is Blind was born.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, well, congratulations again. That's when you got three get off. That is an interesting story how y'all, you would think it would take longer, but how that story came together. And Pat obviously is a woman who is a woman of action. I guess you get an idea.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know what? I'm gone with it. I'm gone with it. Oh,
I know she's listening right now, and she is probably shaking her head. Don't you talk about it. I'm going to talk about it. She has got so much panache. I mean, she is just a go-getter, doer. She has journalism in her background, so she is always,
yeah,
like, up close, personal, get it done, get it done, get it done. And she still,
wow,
to this day, years later, is that way.
Oh, that is good. I know at your website, Lisa, you say that you worked in the I've got to talk about this a little bit because I also worked in this industry, that you worked in the financial investment industry, and that they have not been in the headlines of late. And there's a whole lot that goes on in that industry, you know, other than the roller coaster stock market. Have you ever, and I've had people say this to me, have you ever thought about writing a book based on your experiences working in asset management? And if so, what do you think that book would be like? Right now, it would probably be a real hot book, I would imagine.
Well, actually, right now, I work in asset management, and I'm a subcontractor to ATF, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and Explosives. So I work with a very unusual group of characters at my job, and I'm literally laughing from the time I get in to the time I get out because the people are so wonderful, and, you know, the agents and stuff, you know, I talk to on the phone, and they are just characters. And so while I'm working there, I am also observing, and I am paying attention because there's so much material with the people I work with every day. It is just inspiring. So at some point in time, yeah, I'll probably be doing a book that has some characters in it of people I know at work, and they're going to be like, "Hey, where are my royalties?"
Oh, yeah, and just the financial investment industry, at least the part of it that I was in, I mean, that's enough itself to, like, I can't think of his name right now. He wrote the books on he was an attorney and best-selling author, and I don't know why his name is eluding me, but John Grisham, the same thing. From what you see, there's so much that goes on in that investment industry that you could write a bestseller just based on what goes on there alone. And if that isn't enough, you also, for our listeners here off the shelf, Lisa Watson's also was born in the political hub of Washington, D.C. So you've been placed in areas where so much goes on that you've got a lot of fodder that you could create best-selling books.
Oh,
yes.
Sure.
And then you create fan fiction based on a character that was popular in a 1980s television series. I wanted to ask you, when did you start to create the fiction based on the Remington Steele character, which I'm not that familiar with, if you could just kind of fill our listeners in. And what's it been like creating fiction based on a popular television character?
Well, if anybody was a product of got stuck in the 80s like I did, Remington Steele was a show that ran for 5 years from 1982 to 1987, I believe. It had actually Pierce Brosnan in it, who was then playing a detective and went on to do James Bond movies, and Stephanie Zimbalist. So they were just like
I remember.
He had a detective agency,
yeah.
Remember? And he actually was the front man, the look behind the agency, and she kind of created him out of whole cloth, and he kind of stumbled into the job of being Remington Steele. So what happened was I always loved that show, and then Lord knows how I stumbled on it. God bless Google and the Internet, because I ended up just searching on more stuff for it, and I stumbled across this fan fiction where writers just basically created stories of fiction based on those characters. And, of course, you put 120 disclaimers on your page. It's like, I don't own the characters. I never did. Don't sue me. I'm broke. This is just for entertainment. So that's kind of how it started. And I got to reading, and I just loved that they continued this intricate story between these two characters. And after a while, you know, cocky, goofy me, I'm like, oh, I can do that. So I kind of got a website going and started creating my own stories. And, you know, that was, I believe, 1999 is the first story I put out. And I'm still,
wow,
to this day cranking out the stories. And I got a lot of international readers that emailed me and it's like, we love your work. We got a lot of,
wow,
national readers. And they're just like, you know, keep going. I'm on vacation. Could you hurry up and crank out the next page?
Oh,
I can print,
goodness,
it out and take it with me. So it's been really a really great opportunity for me to reach a lot of people that I wouldn't have normally had the ability to reach. And they are very great, wonderful people. And actually, I need to be cranking out a next part, but I'm working on my third book now. So I'm like, be patient. I'm coming eventually. I'll get,
yeah,
to it. But,
it's amazing.
It's been weird.
It is amazing how we are positioned where we are. I never even thought of that or heard of that, but that was for you. So you were, and then,
yeah,
then when last week Pat talked about genealogy, things that may not connect with somebody else, or you just aren't aware of it, and then somebody else is. So you were right there. Now you're building your readership based on the stories that you make off of this character. And I can just imagine, particularly with the internet, how readers would just want to keep up with these stories, and you can build a fan base that way. I think,
and they do. They really do. And a lot of the fellow authors that write the Remington Steele fiction, they too have websites, and they too have tons of readers and followers that, you know, religiously check back and see if there are new stories. And don't be fooled. I've gotten a couple of emails from people like, Lisa, when are you going to crank out the next part, or when are you going to write a new story? So you think they don't, you know, keep track of you, but they really do.
Wow.
So it kind of keeps me on my toes.
Well, that is good. And I know you, I was going to ask you, and you told us earlier, The Switch was the book for our off-the-shelf listeners that Lisa had published in the anthology with Perry Brown and Pat Simmons that went on to the Essence bestseller list, which is it's really just phenomenal. For people who are familiar with the magazine, they know what that means. For people who are not familiar, it's like one of the top women magazines in the United States, so that's a great achievement. For the off-the-shelf listeners, again, The Switch was a novella in an anthology that appeared. Can you tell us a little bit about what The Switch was about before we go, and then talk a little,
sure,
bit more about your other books?
Absolutely. My story, The Switch, was set actually in Chicago. It was about a guy, Adrian Anderson, whose mother, Norma Jean, was just really intent on getting her only son, only child, married off, as he would put it, to the first woman breathing. But she, you know, she longed for grandchildren. She wanted to see him settled. Of course, he was a professor, bachelor. He's like, yeah, no way, not happening. So she would set up these little blind dates for him. And, you know, it got to the point where he was just so tired of it. He's like, okay, Mom, the last woman you set me up with, we were in the restaurant, and she was eyeing my Rolex more than me. You know, I was worried she was going to take the daggone silverware off the table. You know, he is just tired of it, you know. And then what happens is she's got a really good friend of hers who has a niece, and she was like, you know, I'll set him up on a blind date. And he's just like, okay, this is it. He's like, I'm going to fix her once and for all. I'm going to show her, you know, that this is, you know, just not how I want to live my life. So he decides he's going to cancel his, he's not going to cancel, he's going to stand her up. He's going to leave her hanging. He's not going to go, and he's going to show his mother that he means business. Well, the problem with that is his best friend, Justin, has a conscience, and he's like, you can't do that, guy. And he's like, watch me. So Justin takes it upon himself to go to the restaurant and call off the date on Adrian's behalf. And so what happens is Justin gets there. He arrives. He sees Sabrina Ridgemont, and he is blown away by how just amazingly beautiful she is. So he sits down, and he's trying to get out the words to break the date and let her know Adrian's not coming, when an old flame of Sabrina shows up at the table, cocky, annoying, and he's just like, you know, oh, hey, Sabrina, you know, so he starts trying to have a conversation, and Justin is just caught like a deer in the headlights because he looks to Justin, and he goes, and you are? And he says, Adrian. My name's Adrian Anderson. So he didn't want to make her look foolish, so he just pretended to go along and be Adrian so that she wouldn't look bad in this other, you know, guy's eyes. But, you know, after that, he finds it really difficult to extricate himself out of the situation he's put himself in because he really does like her and she likes him, and there's a really big attraction there. So he's like, great, you know, I've assumed my best friend's identity. I've met the woman of my dreams. Now what? So that's kind of the story behind the switch.
Well, that is so interesting. You know, as you were talking, the whole time I'm listening to you, I'm seeing like a movie of it. I don't know why I can visualize it very easily. The way you were describing the scene and the characters, rather than thinking of a book, I don't know why, I kept seeing like a movie, like a television show or something while you were talking. So you're very good with visualization. I saw the story unfolding rather than like if I was reading it. I wanted to ask you, what was the reader what's the reader reaction to the switch been like, and did readers tell you, I want more of this story?
Yeah, actually, you'd be surprised as an author, and again, I was brand spanking new as an author. That was the first thing I'd ever gotten published in print, and I was like crazy excited. But as we did a tour, we did tours in the Chicago area because that's where I was stationed. Not stationed, I'm not in the military, but that's where I was. Pat was in St. Louis, so we did book signings in her area, and then we also did book signings in Perry's area in L.A., so we flew there. So we kind of just did a three-city tour, and there were people that came up, and it was funny because I actually got a lot of guys who actually ended up buying the book. You know, one guy just walked by the table a couple of times, the older guy, and he's like, Love is blind. No, it's not. And I'm like, yes, it is. Like, no, it's not. It's not blind. So, I mean, he just had this long, drawn-out conversation about how love wasn't blind. And, you know, was this man-bashing in here? And I'm like, absolutely not. We do not man-bash. So, no, we have positive stories with positive characters in it. They have jobs, real jobs, you know, and they, you know, do well in society. So, you know, he decided to read it, and he actually sent me an email to say he loved it. And so we did get a lot of emails. I mean, there were some emails that were very positive, like, we really like the story. When are you going to have a sequel? Adrian's story needs to be told. So, you know, I keep that stuff in mind. So at some point in time, yeah, I will be doing Adrian's story, and I actually started working on it. And that's going to be off the market because, of course, he's a real estate agent in the switch. And so he's going to meet the woman of his dreams.
And real estate, another hot one, man. You really are timing these things right and picking your subjects right. Before we go on to talk about your first full-length book, The Reunion, I wanted to ask you, and it seems like you kind of alluded to this earlier, but I just want to, not sure, did you know before you wrote The Switch, I know that you and you met Pat and Perry at a writer's event, did you know before you wrote this book that you wanted to be a writer? Or was it until after?
And I know you hear this millions of times where I was writing as long as I've been walking and stuff like that, but sometimes it's really true. I started writing in like elementary school, and it was always something that I kept coming back to. And as the years went by, you know, and I got into the workforce, started working, ended up getting married and having kids, all of this stuff, I would always go back to writing, whether or not, you know, I'd take a break for a month or a year or five. Writing has just always been in my chemical makeup. It's always been who I am. It's always been what I've done. It's always what I've come back to. So at some point in time, you got to figure, hey, you know, if I keep coming back to this, clearly it's something I'm supposed to be doing. So that's kind of where I was. But again, I fell into this. Some people say, was it hard? Was it this? Was it that? And I said, to be honest, no, it's difficult, yes, but how things kind of unfolded in front of me, I would never have imagined I would have, you know, had the opportunity. I mean, I had two small kids when I stumbled across on the Internet, the Romance Slam Jam. I lived in Aurora, Illinois. It was in Raleigh, Durham. And I'm like, anybody knows my husband Eric knows that for him to go, okay, just go, that's a big thing. So he was like, just go. So literally in the course of a couple of days, I got there, had a hotel, met Terry, met Pat, and my life was changed.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. Man, you are just in the right place, like I keep telling you.
Yeah, it really
you
is
know
sometimes
how to be
all about timing.
In the right place. You are just the one. Can you tell us about your next full-length published book, The Reunion, without giving the whole story away? Just give us a brief synopsis.
Sure. The Reunion was actually a 10-minute love story I did for the Sun magazine. So that was just a quick, short story. And when I say short, I mean short. I think the word count on that was maybe not to exceed 500 words. But that
okay.
to me was like pulling teeth. The next story I did, which was my first solo novel, is Watch Your Back. That actually came out in September, last September 2009. And actually, that's in second print, and it's doing really well. And that was my first solo novel, because after the switch, I'm like, okay, Lise, you got to do something just, you know, on your own and get out there and do your debut novel. So Watch Your Back is romantic suspense, and that's actually my first debut novel.
Okay, when did that come out on the market for our listeners here? And can you give us a brief synopsis of Watch Your Back without, again, giving a whole story away, just enough to whet our listeners' appetites?
Sure. Watch Your Back came out in September. It is a romantic suspense. It's set in, actually, we go a couple of places. It's set primarily in Washington, D.C. We also go to Chicago, Illinois, because that's where my character Devin Mitchell is from, and Jade Seaton lives in D.C. It's basically about Devin's grandmother bequeaths him an art gallery, and thus far he's been pretty happy to be a hands-off type of owner until strange incidents start occurring at the gallery that are affecting his bottom line. So he hires himself at the gallery as the new art director. The problem with that is twofold. One, that job was promised to Jade Seaton, and she's none too happy about a guy showing up that doesn't know what he's doing that just got her job. And two, after a while, Devin figures out it's clearly somebody that's out for revenge, and he's the primary target. So that's kind of a little bit about Watch Your Back.
Okay. Watch Your Back, a great title. Do you come up with the titles yourself, or does the publisher pick the title? Because the titles to your book, Switch, and The Reunion, which is a short story that appeared in Sun Magazine, and then Watch Your Back, the titles themselves will pull the reader in. Do you come up with those titles yourself, or does the book publisher, do they pick those titles?
No, actually, the author, as far as I know, the author pretty much comes up with titles. Now, occasionally, a publisher can suggest something that you have to kind of follow, criteria you have to follow. But as far as the switch goes, that was just, you know, me saying Adrian, you know, Justin switched places with Adrian. So that was, I came up with that one. Watch Your Back, actually, I cannot take credit for it. That was actually Pat Simmons. I had originally determined the title was going to be A Perfect Match because Jade and Devin, regardless of how they got along, like, you know, oil and, you know, water sometimes, they actually were a perfect match. But Pat said, okay, she called me up one day and said, okay, Lise, I was praying, and God told me the name of your book needs to be Watch Your Back. So I'm like, okay.
so who am I to argue
with God? So, yes, that is Watch Your Back. And actually that title, so many people come and go, Watch Your Back. I like it. And I actually got a T-shirt that I'm wearing actually right now. It's kind of weird, but I've got my T-shirt that I came up with, just a quick kind of tagline, danger isn't always in plain sight. Sometimes you need to watch your back. So that has actually been a title that I've gotten so many people to comment on and said, wow, that's a great title. I'm like, yep, I can't take the credit. That was all Pat and God's work. So, but, yeah, that's how that story got to be. And my next two stories, Interview with Love, is what I'll, that'll be out in actually December. So I came up with that title. And then the next one I'm working on right now, Interview with Danger. So that's going to start the interview series. So those titles will be, you know, of course, Interview will be somewhere in the titles.
Okay, and I know I read the excerpt, and I encourage, again, our off-the-shelf listeners, to go to Lisa Watson's website, and again, it's www, very easy to remember, spelled the way it sounds, just her name, Lisa, LisaWatson.com, LisaWatson.com. Again, I encourage you to go over there now and check out her website, even as you listen to her on this interview live. Again, www.LisaWatson.com. At her website, you can check out her excerpts, which I did, and I love the way you write. I was reading the excerpt from your latest. Your latest book, Before the Interview Series, I didn't read those. I don't even know if those were up yet. But you have built a lot of emotion in your characters and in your scenes. You, like, get right to the story, right to the action of the story. I wanted to ask you, why do you delve into emotionally charged issues shared between couples, Lisa? Because when you think about romance, rather than create stories that kind of create the dream-like relationships so many of us want, relationships that don't have the pain and the confusion and the heartache. Why do you get into such emotionally charged issues in your books?
Well, mainly because I remember when I first sat down and thought about, okay, Lisa, you got to create a book that's all your own. It has to be, the first thing I wanted it to be was engaging. I wanted the reader to not put it down. That was my big thing. I wanted it to be exciting. I wanted it to be realistic. And trust me, I am all about reading those, you know, romance novels that, you know, everything's perfect and wonderful, and you're like, you know, but I didn't want to write that. I like, you know, I love dialogue between people, and my characters, I get so engrossed in the dialogue. I love conversations between them and, you know, arguments, and so not just always everything is copacetic. I want stuff, you know, shaken up a bit, because I'm always curious how they're going to get out of that situation. You know, they're arguing like cats and dogs 1 minute, and, you know, then, you know, have them possibly be able to turn that around and just get along. So dialogue always, to me, draws me in, and I tend to focus more on that than the actual descriptions of where they are and what they're doing. And stuff like that, because I find that as a reader, if I'm flipping pages, going back, looking for the dialogue, I kept that in mind when I was writing the book. So as an author, I kept in mind how I deal with things as a reader, because I wanted to make sure that I held that, you know, reader there and kept them in the story and didn't have them, oh, please, and put the book down like, this isn't even real. So, you know, that's what I wanted to do, and that's what I tried to make sure I did, and I hope I succeeded. So far, so good, in making sure that Jade was a character that, you know, people could identify with. She's working. She has this job. She was promised, and she was building toward that. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, here comes Devin Mitchell. And it's like, oh, okay, well, you know that job we promised you? We're going to give it to him. And then she's like, what? You know, so I wanted that raw emotion. I wanted the anger. I wanted all her pins and needles to be just focused on Devin, and just her just to just glare at him when he came in a room. Just, you know, because all she could remember was the fact that this man who she doesn't know, never heard of before, took her job. And it's all about her right now. So that's kind of what I tried to keep in mind.
If you had to name like one or two of your favorite characters in the book, and I know with the excerpt I read, I know somebody I didn't like from the story. I thought it was a little tricky and calculating. But who would you say are, if you had to name one or two favorite characters of yours, and that'd probably be a tricky thing to ask the author because they could have a lot of impression on the readers, but do you have any favorite characters in the story, even though you created it and wrote it? Are there any characters that you say, I was rooting for that one?
Well, I got to say, my favorite two would have to be Devin and Jade, but I had so much fun writing Henry Mitchell, Devin's uncle in the book, and also his brother Sterling Mitchell, because they have such a tenuous relationship between the two of them, and I touch on that in the book as well. They had a rugged backstory. So they kind of got along, as I would say, I think I quoted this in the book, like champagne and beer nuts. Champagne being Sterling, beer nuts being Uncle Henry, because they just worked, they came from the same background, they had the same means, and Henry just walked away from it all. And, you know, we'll talk about that in the book, but he just walked away from it. And now he's got a farm in DeKalb, Illinois. It's farm country. He's got his favorite obstinate cow named Abigail, who, you know, he sings to every morning, and she's just looking at him like, you've got to be kidding me. But so how they interacted together was what I wanted, you know, what just I had a fun writing their dialogue, because they're just, you know, Uncle Henry's all crotchety, Sterling in his own way is crotchety, and just the two of them together and, you know, the bantering back and forth they did when they had to be faced in the same room with each other was just, I had a ball right in that.
Oh, my goodness. And then your interview story, your interview series, when did you decide that you were going to start writing series books? And what are, for our listeners who may be authors themselves or hope to one day be a published author, what do you think the benefit is in writing a series? I know what I think the benefit from that is, but what do you think the benefit of writing a series book is? And when did you get this idea that, you know what, I'm going to start on this interview series? When did that idea come to you, and why did you decide to go with that?
Well, two things. One, being an author and writing a series was just something I heard over and over again from the fellow authors that I was around. Every year, Pat and I do the publicity for the RT Book Lovers Convention. So RT Book Review Magazine has this annual convention, and so we do the publicity for the authors for that. So every year I'm surrounded by all these best-selling authors, and I get a chance sometimes to sit down and talk to a few one-on-one, poke their brain a bit. And so they were all saying, girl, you need to be writing a series. You know, you have to write a series. This is how you get your readership. This is how, you know, you get those loyal followers, and they will. You start one series, and they are very diligent about getting, especially if it's good, getting the books in the series. And then Pat Simmons, she also wrote a series, the Guilty series. So she had, you know, Love, you know, Still Guilty, Not Guilty. She's working on her fourth in that series. So I'm like, okay, well, how many times do I have to be wrapped over the head before I go, oh, you know what? I think I need to write a series. So that's exactly what, you know, kind of started me with the series, the interview series. And the first book, like I said, will be out in December, Interview with Love. And then Interview with Danger is what I'm working on right now.
Can you tell our listeners who are some of the main characters who they will see in each of those books in the series? And is there a central theme to the story books? Without, again, I want just to whet folks' appetites for them to go out and support you and get a copy of the book, but just enough to whet their appetite. And are there some main characters they're going to see in each of those books in the series?
Yeah, actually, Interview with Love starts out with Sienna Lambert, who is a consumer psychologist, and also Vaughn Devereaux, who is a creative director at an ad agency. So you'll see those two characters in Interview with Love, and also his brother, Pierce Devereaux, who is an ex-football player and sports commentator. And he even has his own line of cologne on like a shopping network. So you're going to see those characters in Interview with Love. I'm actually working on Interview with Danger right now, where you're going to see Pierce Devereaux, Vaughn's brother, and then he's going to be the primary character, and also Sienna's twin sister, Sasha. So she and Pierce will pretty much be what Interview with Danger is about. And the reason why it's called Interview, it's the interview series, is because Sienna is, like I said, a consumer psychologist, and she moderates focus groups to assist her clients with, you know, marketing their projects to target products to target audiences. So that's where the interview part comes in, because she actually moderates focus groups. And so Interview with Danger, Sasha is actually written her first novel, The Passport Diaries, and that is about a character who just writes about her things that go on during her travels to these exotic places and dealing with these, you know, rich and famous people. So Sasha is has got her book, so she's going to be interviewed for her book. And so that's kind of where the interview with Danger comes in, because that's going to be more of a romantic suspense, and that's going to be back to the, okay, who's lurking behind me type of thing. So that's kind of how the interview series got started, and then Interview with Fate is going to be the next one, and then Interview with Destiny.
Wow. Wow, so you already have, oh, my goodness. Now, do you put out how many books a year? Because you are busy. How many books a year would you say that you write? Do you sound like you write like 3 or 4 books a year? Or do you write like
are
only
you
one
kidding?
Book?
I wish I wrote 3 or 4 books a year. Yeah, no, so don't do that yet. I really got to work on the whole writing faster thing. But it literally took me 2 years to get Watch Your Back up and out the door. I have got to be the world's slowest writer because I was kind of juggling, you know, kids and work and all this stuff. So
right.
Interview with Love, actually, I had to say, I was able to get that up and out the door in like a few months. And that was really like, I work full time. I have a 10-year-old, a 12-year-old, a dog, a husband. I didn't mean to put it in last, but I literally went without sleep a lot because I really wanted to get it out the door, and I wanted to see how focused I can be, because anybody that knows me knows occasionally I like to procrastinate. So I really had to rein myself in and just go, you know, just get her done. And so that's what I did, and it took me a couple of months, but, you know, I loved it when I was finished with it. Had a wonderful editor edit it, and so I can say that now I would love to be able to get a few books out a year, but that's, you know, that's me seriously nose to the grindstone, write until I pass out, get up and write some more. You know, everywhere I'm not working, eating, or sleeping, I'm going to be writing. That would be the ideal dream.
Wow, oh, my gosh, you have such a full life, and just congratulations to you for what you're doing with your life and able to keep it all balanced. And in your spirit, I can just hear so much good energy, so you truly are blessed. I know you mentioned this, and this is a question I wanted to ask you, and as you were talking about it, I was just grinning. You also worked as a publicist for Romantic Times Book Lovers Convention, which is the RTC that Lisa had mentioned earlier for our off-the-shelf listeners. I myself have never been to the convention, but I do know how big Romantic Times is. And I also know that romance is the number one genre of book genre sales and has been for years. I wanted to ask you, and we kind of touched on this just now, how do you find a time, like Lisa, to write, be a wife, a mother, work in asset management, and then take on a co-publicist role as well?
Well, anybody that knows me knows that in addition to being a procrastinator, I multitask, I think, pretty well. So when it gets to the point where it has to be done, it's no longer a luxury. You just get it done because that's what you have to do. So luckily for me, I have a job that I don't have to do overtime with. They're pretty flexible. So, you know, when I come home, that's it. I leave the work at, you know, work. And I come home, and as soon as I walk through the door, I'm not working anymore. So I'm able to just switch gears and do the family thing. And then when the kids go to bed is usually when I try to write. But, you know, sometimes it's like the kids go to bed, you're like, well, I'm sleepy too. You know, I want to go to bed. But, you know, sometimes you have to stay up and you have to write a little bit. And so I kind of try to just juggle it and write when I can. I have a laptop, luckily. So when I have a laptop sitting on my lap right now, and actually when I'm done with you in the interview, I'm going to go off and try to, you know, finish up a scene. So I'm really trying to write where I can, and I'm not very structured, so it's not like, okay, this time, this date, this is what I'm going to be doing. It's literally when I have the time to do so. And Romantic Times, that's 5 days. It's a 5-day convention, but we're preparing, Pat and I are preparing for that like months in advance, and it's grueling, but it's so rewarding. And I tell people all the time when they tell me, what can I do to be a published author? What can I do to get my foot in the door? Go to writers' conventions. Go to these conventions because you're surrounded by the people that, you know, where you want to be. You're surrounded by authors. You're surrounded by editors and publishers and industry professionals. This is your best chance to get your foot in the door, especially for the conventions that have these one-on-one interviews that you have available where you can sit down at a table, just you and the editor or publisher or agent that you are trying to, you know, get interview with, and you can sit down and talk to them. You can pitch your story idea. This is what I do every year. So in addition to doing the publicity, Pat and I really try to focus on the other authors that we are trying to promote. So it's not about us when we're doing the publicity. It's about them. It's about the authors that are at this convention. And occasionally we sneak in, you know, a couple of 15 minutes here, 5 minutes there to do our own thing. You know, we do the book fair. We sign our books at the massive book fair that they have. And we also interview with agents and editors and publishers. And this is how you do it. You've got their attention for 5 minutes. Make the most of it. And you know, if they want your material, then you can say, you can put on that envelope, requested material. So that is, you know, what keeps your stuff from out of the slush pile, which is, you know, a glorified word for trash. So that is what I, you know, tell people if they ask.
That is a good tip Lisa just gave. Oh, my goodness, if you meet a you go to a writer's convention or a conference, I can tell you, particularly if you are starting out in the industry, I highly recommend going to them. Do some research on a conference and a seminar in advance. So you want to know who are some of the people who are going to be attending, what are some of the formats that they're going to be using, will you be able to have one-on-one discussions with editors and publishers, can you submit your work and have it critiqued, what are some of the things that you can do, or can you have a one-on-one, some do, with other published authors who can give you tips. But that putting requested material on the outside of the envelope, if the editor truly requested it, I don't recommend doing it if they didn't. But
absolutely
if they did, that is a good way to, and I've never heard that tip. So Lisa Watson just gave us a tip I never heard of before after years in the industry. So thank you to Lisa for that. I wanted to ask you, how many years have you been going to Romantic Times Book Lovers Convention? And for our listeners who have never been, I know what a conference or a seminar is like, but can you just give us, like, you're very good when you talked about Watch Your Back. I can visualize it. I just saw it happening. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about what the experience is like attending Romantic Times Book
Lovers? Sure. I can sum it up. Like nothing you've ever seen before. There are literally thousands of readers that descend on whatever hotel we're going to be in. They descend on that place for 5 days. And people from all over the world. They had a lady from Israel come last year.
Wow.
Australia,
oh my goodness.
New Zealand.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. There are people from everywhere that come. And it's in a different city every year. And this is just a concentrated thing. You know, it's not just all about the parties. And believe me, people, they got some parties. You have authors that are throwing, like, fairy balls where the people dress up. And then every year, best-selling authors Heather Graham and Helen Rosenberg put on a vampire ball in a dinner theater. So while you're sitting there eating, they also are doing a show for you.
Wow.
So it's stuff like that.
Oh,
we have
goodness.
Mixers that the editors and agents and publishers, they put together mixers. And it's not just about the partying, because trust me, there's a lot. But there's also workshops. We have over 125 different workshops where you can sit down and you can listen to a panel of authors and editors and agents tell you exactly what the industry is looking for. And, you know, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of aspiring authors that come. So it's not just all published authors that come. They're aspiring authors. They're readers. They're book club members. All of these people are here to just soak up all that is the, you know, Romantic Times Book Lovers, you know, convention. And it is so worth you going if you are trying to get into, you know, into the literary profession. This is where you soak up stuff. This is where you listen to, you know, conversations. This is where you get to ask questions about, you know, manuscripts and stuff. And in addition to that, every publisher has a website. You can go in under submission guidelines and see exactly what they're looking for and try to tailor what you're doing based on what they're looking for. And so I tell people all the time, Romantic Times Book Review Magazine is just amazing, amazing thing to go and be a part of. I'm exhausted when I come back, don't get me wrong, but I also feel rejuvenized every time I go because you know, I'm doing what I dream of doing. It's what I'm supposed to be doing. And, you know, again, you'd be surprised how approachable these best-selling authors are. You would think, oh, they're just going to be a diva or something. No, they're not. They're just honest, down-home people, just like everybody else. And So you really have a chance to be up close and personal with a lot of these different authors. I'm not saying, you know, go chase them down the hallway to ask them a question.
Right.
But, you know, if you present it with the opportunity, then, you know, take advantage of it. And, again, I can't say enough. I can talk all day about RT, but
it's
something that people should definitely look into. And the website is rtconvention.com. And so they can go and just Google RT Book Review Magazine, and you can see exactly what it's about. And you can see, you know, what goes on at these conventions. They have pictures and stuff. They have a Mr. Romance contest every year where they just take guys and they, you know, vote. And whoever wins gets, you know, cash prizes, of course, but they also get to be on a book cover of an upcoming book. And they do, you know, they have charity work, SOS, Support Our Soldiers. I mean, so they do a little bit of everything at these conventions every year.
I have heard of Romantic Times, and I know they are huge. That sounds like I've never heard of a conference like that. It is almost up there with, well, I don't know if they get as much traffic, but I'm thinking the Book Expo. But that is really, really the conference, the convention really sounds on that level of a.
We just finished a conference April 28th to May 2nd. We were in Columbus, Ohio. We had about 1,000 people walk in that did not know about the convention until we publicized it in the Columbus area. So that was like the biggest number of people that they've actually had that have walked in ever. And next year it's going to be in Los Angeles. We'll be in Los Angeles. And then I think they're trying to look at New Orleans. So, yeah, I mean, definitely people need to, if you're interested in trying to become an author and get your foot in the door and learn more about your craft, because they do. They have workshops. They talk to you about character pacing. They talk to you about, you know, world building if you're doing sci-fi. And it's not, you know, romance has a lot of genres. So we're talking thriller, mystery, sci-fi, erotica, historical, chick lit. You know, vampire. Okay. You know, everything. I mean, paranormal. They've got it all. They really do.
You desire to be a publicist. I'm telling you. you deserve that job. You need it.
I'm always working.
And I tell you, any writer who'd have you helping to publicize their book is a blessed writer, because you don't fool around, and you do a great job at it. For our listeners who might just be tuning in, and for those who've been here from the start, I want to let you know we are just absolutely blessed. This morning, this June the 19th, a morning here on Off the Shelf, where we start every morning Saturday morning at 11 a.m., we are talking to Lisa Watson. Lisa Watson is the author of short stories and the author of books Switch, The Reunion, Watch Your Back, and she's coming out with some interview book series. You're going to want to get them. The first one comes out this November. Check the bookstores for it. Check online for it. Bookmark her website. It's www.lisawatson, spelled the way it sounds, LISAWATSON.com. Read her excerpt. If you read an excerpt, just one excerpt from her books, I'm telling you, you're going to be pulled in. Her writing is that good. It's that strong. And you hear the energy and her passion for what she does. So check her out. Look for her book, The Interview Series. What's the title of the first one again, Lisa?
The first
coming
one
out in November?
Right. Actually, it's going to be out in December 2010.
The very first?
Right. And it's Interview with Love. And actually, if you go to my website, you can look under excerpts. And I believe I have an excerpt from Watch Your Back. I now have an excerpt from Interview with Love. There's also an excerpt for Off the Market, so people can get an idea about Adrian. And I believe I just put up an excerpt for Interview with Danger as well. So you'll be able to see a little bit of all of them and get a feel for how I write and what the stories are about.
Yeah, I think when you see her writing style, you're going to be pulled in. We only have 10 minutes left in this show that has sped by so quickly. I want to give some of our listeners, and you've given some valuable tips and advice here this morning. I thank you for that, and I'm sure our listeners do as well. But for those who maybe spent months or years, Lisa, hoping to one day be where you are, can you tell us how you landed your publisher, or give readers some guidance or advice on how they too could possibly land a book publisher? Did you go through a literary agent first? What was that process like for you?
Again, as far as I'm, you know, how things happened for me, literally stuff just fell into my lap. It just started rolling and it just popped up. So how I got published was literally because I was at the right place, right time. And then how I got, how we got that to the publishing house that we're at now, Urban Books. They have a lot of different genres. That's where Pat is at Urban Christian. Watch Your Back is actually at Urban Soul. And then Interview with Love is going to be with Urban Renaissance. So those are women's fiction lines of Urban Books. And literally, Carl Weber really wanted Perry Brown to come in and write under his house. So he talked to her, and he's like, what are you working on right now? She's like, well, actually, I'm working on an anthology, you know, Pat Simmons, Lisa White. He's like, okay, I want it. And so that's kind of how we got published. And then since we were already authors under that publishing house, Pat branched out to the Christian line, and then I branched out to the women's fiction line. And, again, it's all about timing, because when I submitted Watch Your Back to Urban, I think it was a whole year before I had heard anything again. So I'm like, okay, well, I guess they didn't like it. So what had happened was that an editor at the time, when I talked to her on the phone, she's like, you know, I was pitching this idea because Pat's like, okay, Lisa, you know, Urban Soul is looking for authors. Go give them a call. And literally, we know Pat. So she was like, right now. I'm like, okay. So I went and gave him a call, and I was talking to her, and I was, you know, pitching Watch Your Back. And I had started talking to her about what it was about. And she's like, wait a minute, I've read this before. And I'm like, no, you haven't. And she's like, no, yes, I have. And she's like, no, is this about Devin? Does he have, his uncle have a farm? Is it at an art gallery? I'm like, oh, my God, somebody's got my book. And then so I was like, yeah. And she's like, I read that last year. I had made a recommendation that they picked that last year. So she said, send me the whole manuscript. And she loved it. And that's how I got, you know, the Urban Soul line. So, again, literally for me, it has been always about timing, right place, right time. And now, you know, then I had to work backwards and get an agent, because at that point they went from unagented authors to only agented authors. So okay. I was able to, you know, get an agent really fast. I borrowed Pat's, you know, write what you know. So I brought Pat's agent, and so that's how I got it in. And,
Goodness. Yeah, I'm telling you, your timing is on the money. And I wanted to just touch on this briefly with just a few more minutes left in the show. A lot of times writers, and not just writers, people in general can fall into the trap of just daydreaming about something. I always say I think most people have good intentions.
Mm-hmm.
And we have good intentions, good ideals. We want to do well, do good. But we just stop at just thinking about it. Like something magical is going to happen. It's going to just transpire. Even after you were published and you landed a literary agent, do you still have to, because I know a lot of people might daydream that it just happens, do you still have to get out and market and promote your work, Lisa, or does the publisher do that for you?
Yes, absolutely. I know maybe the publisher does that for some authors. It was not me. And that was one of those misconceptions when I first got my foot in the door. I assumed that the publisher would be doing marketing for the book. No. You have to market your book. So I was the one getting out there, setting up book signings, talking to people, setting up blog radio interviews for myself, like this one right here with Denise. So you really, as the author, you'd be surprised. You have to do pretty much all of the work to promote your book and to promote you. So it's a lot of work. But, you know, and again, I'm not doing this full time. So, I just eke it in where I can. But you really are responsible for getting there. I mean, My other biggest secret for all, everybody on the planet is Vistaprint.com. Vistaprint is where I go to get promotional items to market myself. That's where I get my bookmarks from, my business cards, my stationery, my letterhead, my this, my that, my T-shirts, my hats, my all of this stuff. And so I just got I got on their mailing list, and they send me emails every week. And there's a lot of free stuff there where you just, if you do it right, you just pay for shipping. So I found out about this, I think, through Pat. And again, word of mouth. I always believe in paying it forward. So anybody that has any questions they need to ask, email me. Because if I don't know the answer, maybe I know somebody who does know the answer. And I believe in, you know, not being tight-lipped about how I got where I, you know, where I am and the things that make it easier for me as I go along, because I don't know everything. I'm just brand new myself, so I'm learning this stuff out as I go. And as I learn it, I try to tell other people that may not have known about it, so now that they know it. So I truly believe in paying it forward and, being humble enough to, tell people, stuff for free. I mean, information is free. Use it.
That's a term that's been popping up over the last 2 weeks that I've never heard before. Paying it forward. I gotta wait and see why I'm suddenly hearing that. So
I think there's
often
a movie that had Kevin Spacey in it, was about paying it forward. Where, I haven't seen it, but that's kind of I think where I got it from. And basically just give of yourself, give of your time, give of your knowledge to someone else without any strings attached.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, that's a great photo of you for our listeners to go over to lisawatson.com at your website. Did you create your website yourself? And we only have 3 minutes, and I have so many other questions I wanted to ask you. Did you create your website yourself, and how important do you think it is for writers to have a website?
A website is very important. It gives people a quick snapshot of who you are, what you're about, and how you write. Excerpts, excerpts, excerpts. Throw them on your website so people can get a feel for you before they actually go out and buy the book. No, I didn't create my website myself. I did it online. You can Google. There are a lot of different website hosts where if you host with them, they'll give you a free website, a couple pages or whatever. So I did the content, but I didn't do the actual technical stuff.
Well, it looks very, very professional. Can you
let
our listeners know about any upcoming interviews, public appearances, book signings, where you're going to be appearing in the coming days so they can come out and support you?
I don't have anything scheduled right now. I'm doing blog radio show interviews right now, but I always try to update on Facebook to tell you where I am, where I'm going to be, and also on my schedule on my website. The link there shows you where I am next, where I'm going to be. I try to keep those updated as well as I can. That doesn't always work out. So I definitely try to let people know. And you can also sign up for my newsletter, and I tell you every month what I'm working on. I give you an excerpt from the book and just tell you a little bit about, what I'm up to. So, yeah, you can do that. Email me, and I'll add you to the list.
You're at Facebook, Twitter. I'm assuming you're on those social networks so people can do a search there and find you as well. If somebody wanted you to come and speak at their school or a writer's conference or a seminar, are you available, and how would they reach you?
They could email me. There's a contact me on my website. They can also just email me at lywatson007@hotmail.com. Again, lywatson007@hotmail.com, and just drop me a line, and I'll get back to you. I answer each and every one of my emails.
Oh, my goodness, Lisa. We have just so enjoyed talking to Lisa Watson as we have less than 2 minutes left in the show. Lisa Watson, she's had her work published in magazines, and she has full-length books. She's got a book series coming out, the interview book series. Her first book is going to be dropping, Interview for Love, in December. Go to the bookstores. Look for this book. When you're out shopping at Walmart or somewhere, look for Lisa Watson's book, the first in her series, Interview for Love, and visit her online at www.lisawatson.com. LisaWatson.com. I'm telling you, you read that one excerpt from her books. You hear their passion in her voice. You read one excerpt from her books, and she's going to have you. She's going to have you just through her writing alone. You're going to know that she definitely has a talent. We thank her for being here with us on this Saturday morning, just a gorgeous day here in Philadelphia, which we
thank
God
for. Thanks
so much
for having me.
And
they can check out Amazon.com, too. Check out Amazon.com because you can see reviews from other people that have read the book thus far.
Okay, Amazon.com. Look for Lisa Watson, LisaWatson. Put a note for her in your mind. You can hear the passion that she has, and she supports other writers as well and gave us some good tips and advice. I thank each of our listeners for tuning in. Be back here next Saturday at 11 o'clock where we're going to have another phenomenal writer and a phenomenal woman here next Saturday. We'll keep bringing you movers and shakers in the industry on Saturday mornings at 11 o'clock. Just join us here. And as I close, I'll tell you what I always tell you. Remember that you're so valued, truly loved, and so blessed. Go out and enjoy this day and get your dreams. Thank you again, Lisa Watson, and I'll be shooting you an email.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.